wait for days to find out.
Chapter 9. I'd gone to bed the night before with the inkling idea that we needed to get on the strange ship to see if we could learn more. That idea was even more prevalent when I awoke the next day. I was happy to wake up naturally instead of to my phone ringing, and then instantly started thinking of ways to get on the ship. I got up, threw on a pair of sweatpants, and headed to the kitchen for coffee. Usually Freya is the one who makes the coffee when she stays over, so it surprised me to see Veda standing by the sink.
"Good morning," I said quietly, not ready to disturb the peace of the morning yet.
"I think I figured something out," she replied, skipping over niceties. I grabbed a cup and poured the freshly brewed coffee.
"What's that?"
"All the victims were terrified looking, right?" she asked rhetorically. "What is the one thing they all had in common otherwise?"
"The needle marks," I guessed.
"Aside from that, think location," she urged.
My mind wasn't ready for deep thought yet, so I contemplated her question for a moment and then shrugged my ignorance.
"Think about it," she said, getting more excited. "All of them had their hands up like they were trying to shield their faces from something, right?"
"Well, either that or ward something off," I added.
"I think it's the prior," she replied. "I went back over it 100 times in my mind. The bodies by the windows of the stores, the one by the trash can, the one by the bread truck, even the one in the median and the sorority house."
She paused for dramatic effect.
"They were all facing something reflective."
I went over the mental images as she spoke.
"Okay, but that seems like a bit of a coincidence, doesn't it? There are reflective surfaces all around us pretty much at all times."
"I thought about that. But how often do you actually see your reflection, or any reflection, actually? We tune it out the majority of the time."
"All right, I think I'm following." I took a drink of my coffee, feeling my mind gear up.
"So, you think they saw the reflection of something that scared them?"
"I think their own reflection scared them," Veda claimed. "It was the sorority house body and the bread truck body that really brought it together for me. Even though the victim by the trash can didn't make sense until I remembered that the public trash cans are tin. They give a slightly distorted reflection, but a reflection nonetheless."
"But why would they see their own reflections and be terrified? Especially when you just said we all ignore our own reflections most of the time," I asked.
"That one took some time to figure out, but here it is. They were hyper-vigilant because they were actively looking for something else," she explained. "It's like noticing a sticky note you'd forgotten about while looking for your keys. The sticky note could have been there for months, but you just look right over it until you need to pay attention."
Okay, I think I'm getting it. What do you think they were looking for?" I asked, already having formulated an idea.
"The same thing that resulted in the destruction of the med room at the sorority house. They were looking for IVs," Veda said to confirm what I was thinking.
"Holy shit. Talk about being punished for losing something and wanting to find it again. Did you happen to sum up a reason they would be looking for IVs other than they'd obviously had one recently?"
It made the most sense to me.
"Nope, that was pretty much it. Whatever was in the IVs they were looking for wasn't your run-of-the-mill saline solution, I'd bet, though," she replied.
"Hey, a question," I stated, a thought blasting through my mind. "How specific can the coroner be with those autopsies?"
"More specific than I can explain in under an hour,"
Veda tilted her head, curious.
"Why?"
"All the victims were in the square, even the one from the sorority house. She just happened to have moved because of Cammy. What if they were all already dying? What else could have inspired that kind of mass motivation?" I frowned for a moment, unsure if I was explaining myself correctly. Veda mumbled, then paused for a moment.
"Interesting theory. You think that perhaps they were looking for something they needed instead of something they were maybe just addicted to. My mind always goes to addiction in cases involving needles of any sort."
"Mine would too, normally.
but there haven't been reports of any crazy addict-type behavior. They weren't panhandling for money. They weren't stealing, as far as we know. They weren't acting like your stereotypical drug addicts, I reasoned.
So they went looking for whatever means it was to stay alive that they previously had access to, but no longer did, once they were taken off the ship? Then they ended up dying of terror from their own reflections. How fucking weird can this get?
Yeah, it's a bit of a brain twister, isn't it? I chuckled.
Veda stopped her contemplating just long enough to pour herself a cup of coffee. I think our next move is to
get on that ship, we said simultaneously.
Exactly, she laughed. I'll call the others.
Where are the others, by the way? I asked, realizing I had no idea where several of our crew was.
Delaney is at the sorority house. They had the banquet last night regardless of the upset. Freya is at the travel agency. Something about an unruly number of incoming requests her assistant needed help with. Sophie went out for...
The jiggling of the front door lock interrupted Veda. Then the door opened. Sophie, in her human form, walked through with a bag in her hand.
Tell me those are muffins from the coffee shop, I said, taking the bag from her.
Good morning to you too, she joked. But no, I did one better. Delaney wanted a little sisterhood bonding with the sorority sisters, so they had a little baking party last night.
Ooh,
Veda nearly squealed.
You're right, that is better, I replied.
Delaney was excellent when it came to baked goods. I grabbed my coffee and the three of us sat at the kitchen table to eat. While we munched away at the raspberry and cream cheese danishes Delaney had sent, Veda and I filled Sophie in on our theory of the passenger deaths. When we were done, Sophie giggled quietly and shook her head.
Only Veda could pick up on something so obscure.
Right, I laughed.
But wait,
Sophie looked at Veda.
What about the girl at the sorority house? She was under a bed.
Yep, she was, Veda nodded. And Steven picked up a makeup compact that was open from the floor across from where the body was. He had offhandedly mentioned that he thought he'd only knocked over some tubes of makeup. My bet is that Cammy had dropped her compact earlier and the mirror side was facing the spare bed when the victim crawled under it.
Sophie nodded along as Veda talked.
We are so lucky to have you. I would have just figured Stevie was more clumsy than he gave himself credit for, she joked.
I'm still clumsy enough to accidentally throw this Danish at your pretty little face, I sniped back playfully.
Sophie put her hands up in mock terror.
Oh no, please don't, she said sarcastically.
The three of us broke out laughing, which was quickly interrupted by Veda's phone ringing.
Who could that be? She asked, reaching for her purse and retrieving her phone. It's Irving.
Sophie and I perked up. Irving usually called me. Not Veda.
Hello?
Veda answered. She nodded, replied with a quick yes a few times, and hung up. She turned to Sophie and me and shrugged her shoulders.
Looks like we have a town meeting of the council to get to, post-haste.
Why?
Sophie asked her, sipping her coffee, as though she had refused to interrupt her breakfast.
Something about a plague and everyone freaking out, Veda replied. It seems the town isn't happy about shriveled bodies landing in the streets in front of their businesses, and the public wants an explanation. They are, of course, automatically going for the most horrific one.
What does Irving want us to do about it? I asked, not sure what our attendance would accomplish.
He didn't say, but I bet he simply wants to keep us in the loop, Veda answered.
Sophie started giggling, and I couldn't help but laugh with her.
What's so funny?
Veda asked, irritated when she realized we were laughing at her. Sophie straightened up and reached a hand across the table to take Veda's.
Veda, my sweet, innocent darling, Irving called you because he wants you there. If anyone can make a logical argument to the town as to why they wouldn't need to fear a plague, it's you. Your brain just got an invitation to play go-between with the town.
Veda stared at Sophie for a few moments.
Shit.
Sophie and I laughed even harder. Veda wasn't much of a people person, and public speaking was definitely out of her wheelhouse.
You'll do fine, I told her. Just pretend you are trying to explain something to a group of fifth graders
who haven't taken a science class yet.
You really think I'm any better with children than I am with adults? A little sexist, if you ask me,
she scoffed, already worried about her upcoming speech.
Come on, I said, stifling my laughter a little to make her feel better. You can practice on us in the van on the way over.
5 minutes later, Sophie and I were listening to a string of scientific jargon being flung at us as we drove to the town meeting. We didn't dare say a word about Veda's delivery of information. The town was just going to have to deal with knowing they were stupid in the ways of science by the time Veda got done with them.